Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3 with me, Michelle Martin. Today, I'm looking at the future of digital payments. We talked to a Korean fintech startup that counts PayPal, GrabPay, and PayNow as their partners. Founded in Korea in 2019, Chaiport has secured over $120 million in funding and is backed by investors that include Hanwha Investment and Securities and SoftBank Ventures Asia. Co-founder and co-CEO of Chaiport joins me now to talk about how payment solutions for platforms are evolving and what merchant startups and investors in Asia need to know about this space. Rahul Abrol, welcome to Money and Me.
Good morning, Michelle, and thank you for inviting me today.
Great to speak with you. By way of introduction, can you share with our listeners what Chaiport does?
Yeah, we are a full-stack payment orchestration platform. It's often misunderstood what we do, so maybe I'll explain why we need to exist and what we offer.
Sure.
So you know, if you look back in the last 10 years, hundreds of payment options have emerged for consumers, and commerce has gone more global than ever, right? So single payment companies are now unable to serve merchants across payment options on a global scale. So to give you an example, there are over 450 significant payment options that consumers use globally for payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that you combine with the fact that over 50% of consumers who reach the checkout page actually abandon the cart and do not complete the transaction, and half of them tell you that they do that because their preferred payment option was not there on the checkout. The message for merchants is loud and clear. Offering just international credit cards and debit cards is not enough, and they have to offer all key local payment options. So that's where we come in. We think of us as middleware between payment companies and merchants. So we integrate the majority of payment options, including the alternate payment methods like BNPL, e-wallets, cash on delivery, crypto, and so on and so forth. And then we provide a unified API to merchants for not just payment acceptance, but also reporting and fund settlement. So what we do is we do the hard work for merchants so that they can focus their engineering resources on their core proposition and just integrate with us via unified API and have access to all payment methods.
All right, we hear unified API. Maybe you can explain that for us by breaking down the kind of merchants that you work with and the sort of pain points that you're helping them with.
Yeah, so broadly classify our merchants into, let's say, two segments. One is young and fast-growing startups. So there are a lot of early-stage startups which on the e-commerce space which want to offer multiple payment options to consumers. Mm-hmm. Now, each of these startups struggle with their engineering resources, right? So what ends up happening is they will only offer one or two payment options because they have to integrate with them one by one. Now, where we come in is if they integrate with us, only one integration, and that allows you to offer all payment options. So we help these young startups save their engineering resources and yet be able to offer all payment options to the merchant. So we take care of the complexity of payments while we let the young startups focus on their core offering. The second segment of customers which also comes to us, mm-hmm, are global and regional commerce players. Like I said, the commerce is becoming more and more global now, and companies are offering their services across multiple markets, right? So what we do is, with us, if you integrate with us, you not only have payment options in the domestic market, but you can actually switch on payments for multiple markets where we are present. So again, helping you expand much faster and taking care of all the complexities that payment integration brings.
All right, you mentioned the global market. Now, we know that here in ASEAN, different countries move at different paces. It's a diverse landscape. And so we're all moving at different paces towards a digital economy. So can you give us a sense of how digital payments are evolving? What are you seeing from leaders in this space?
Yeah, very interesting question, Michelle. APAC, if you ask the e-commerce companies across the world and in US and in Europe who are coming into APAC, mm-hmm, they will tell you that APAC is very important for their long-term growth, right? It contributes roughly 3/4 of total global retail growth if you look at the last 3 years. Now, the challenging part of APAC is when I spoke about the 450 payment options that are present, mm-hmm, bulk of them are in Asia. So the growth of mobile money, the BNPL, the cash on delivery, is far bigger here than, let's say, if you were to compare to US or to UK. And credit card here contributes, let's say, a very small percentage of overall transaction. Now, so the challenge for the merchants when they come into APAC is that if they offer only international credit card and debit card as payment option, then they lose out a lot on the revenue. And one of the studies that I was looking at, I saw only 1 out of 6 merchants that come to APAC offer domestic global wallets. So think like GrabPay, for example, or if you go to Vietnam, MomoPay, if you go to Thailand, TrueMoney, if you go to Korea, then the wallets like Toss and Kakao. If you don't offer these wallets, then you are not reaching out to the entire target audience that you could potentially reach out to. And our study says only 1 in 6 merchants offer these payment options. And the small ones that do have 30% higher transaction success because of just offering local payment options. So studying, the direction we are seeing is more and more companies who come to APAC are understanding that offering local payment options is very, very critical to their growth.
That is really interesting. I wonder if you can take us behind the scenes even further and help us understand the blockchain application. What is underlying what Chaiport is able to do?
So we don't have any blockchain component to it, but like I was mentioning, we offer credit card payments, but our core proposition is offering alternate payment methods, which includes a buy now, pay later propositions, which includes mobile money, which also includes enabling consumers to pay via crypto. So we have partnered with a company called AAA, a Singaporean company, which got the license from MAS earlier this year. So they process the crypto payment, but we have partnered with them. So when merchant integrates with us, they can show payment via crypto on their checkout page. And for a consumer, when that consumer reaches on the checkout, and chooses to pay via crypto, we will take care of the front-end experience while the processing of that is done by respective payment companies. And in case of crypto, it is AAA.
So the payments of crypto is not backed by any sort of blockchain network?
Not by us.
All right. The reason I ask is, I wonder if you can give us a sense of the leadership and the technology behind Chaiport. Chai was founded in 2019 by Daniel Shin, who listeners may know is also co-founder of the global blockchain firm Terraform Labs. And I guess the question was, is there any sort of processes that are underpinned by the Terra blockchain network?
Yeah, I think let me break that down into two parts. I think the second part, which is our association with Terra. So we had in the early days a marketing partnership with Terra, which ended in early 2020. Mm-hmm. And ever since, we've been operating completely independently and separately of them. The second part, or the first part of your question, which is around Daniel Shin, you're right. He is the co-founder and CEO of Chai and has earlier founded a company called Tmall, which is one of the early stage large e-commerce companies in Korea, which he ran for 7 years. And he comes with a lot of e-commerce experience and actually feeling the pain of payments while building the e-commerce. And that's what kind of instigated us to think about solving payments for the next generation of e-commerce players.
I wonder if you can share with us what sort of projects that you're looking to maybe invest in terms of the technology that you think is going to have the biggest impact on the market moving forward.
Yeah, so we are ourselves in the build mode right now. So the main focus is actually to continue building. Like I said, we're largely present in Korea, which is where we focused for the first few years. And we launched Vietnam, Thailand, and Indonesia late last year, and we plan to scale that across other markets in Asia. But in terms of either early stage investment or building ourselves, I think there are a few areas where we are particularly focusing on, and the two of them would be FinOps. So like I said, once the merchant integrates the payments, it's not just about accepting payments. The operational complexity that follows with payments is a huge pain point for merchants. So we are investing behind that through our own resources, as well as looking at opportunities outside to solve that pain point. The second area which we are also thinking of is embedded financial services, which includes things like open banking, capital, card issuance, and so on and so forth. Now, the second part is still very early stage in our thinking as well. And I think it'll take or at least 12 months to 18 months for us to bring anything out in the market. But the first one is something that we are focusing very aggressively on, which we call as SaaS FinOps service to the merchants who work with us.
And on that note, I wonder if you can share a little of your thoughts of how you see open finance evolving. I mean, clearly the integration that you offer is aimed at removing friction and enabling new capabilities. Where do you see open finance moving towards?
Yeah, I think the what's happening more and more is the overall financial services ecosystem is now getting a lot more open in terms of partnering and integrating with services outside. And that allows different players to use their core expertise in solving the entire value chain. So, for example, PSPs who we partner, a payment company that we partner with, specialize in processing payments, mm-hmm. while we who partner with them take care of the merchant acquisition and merchant experience. Similarly, when you think about open banking, for example, banks will they specialize in, they have the expertise in risk management, in capital balance sheet management, and so on and so forth, while we will take care of, again, the front-end merchant acquisition. So we will design the product which solves for the merchant needs and some bit of underwriting using our data, while banks then can specialize on risk and operations. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
What do you say to investors here in Asia? What do they need to know about this space? Where are the growth areas?
I think the biggest growth area in my mind is cross-border, I think is number one. It is a lot of companies are getting into that space, but the problem is still very complicated. And it comes from two areas. One, like I said, Asia in particular has large fragmented payment options. So for merchants to be able to go to multiple markets, they have to do tons of integrations to be able to offer those services.
Right.
But the second challenge is even if you accept local payment options, a lot of time, the e-commerce merchants do not want exposure to the local currency. So let's say I'm an e-commerce merchant in Singapore and offering my software services in Vietnam. I may not want to accept, I'm okay in accepting VND from the consumer, but I don't want to be settled in VND. So there is a second leg, which is, can you settle with me in Singapore dollars in Singapore? So to me, cross-border, I think, is very complicated and definitely an area of growth. And second, like I said, the FinOps piece, which is the reconciliation of payments, the fund settlement, and so on and so forth, I think is hugely challenging. When you integrate with so many payment options, from a merchant perspective, if you go and talk to a CFO in an e-commerce company, they have a hard time in reconciling all the different reports that different payment companies send it to them about the settlement. So just if someone can solve the financial ops piece that sits in e-commerce space and the cross-border piece, I think to me, those two are really big, large growth areas when it comes to Asia.
Interesting. So you talk about cross-border payments. Can you share some of your plans to grow in the region?
Yeah, we have a two-pronged strategy going after cross-border. I think number one is expanding our geographic coverage to offer multiple markets to the merchant. So like I said, with a single API, you will have access to almost all of Asian markets, I would say, by mid next year. So that is one area so that allows us to offer all markets. I think the second piece is just overall transparency in the overall fund flow and cost, I think is the other area which merchants really struggle with. So today, money settlement from multiple payment companies at different timelines and different settlement times as well as different costs, just bringing all of that together in a single reconciliation dashboard and bringing transparency around, you know, different charges that encompass a cross-border transaction, I think are two areas that we are focusing very aggressively on and we have heard merchants request us.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rahul. He's co-founder and co-CEO of Chaiport, Rahul Abrol, with me here on Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.